All right, yeah, so we're live now, but I'll get, let me put these on. Yeah, there's a couple here, hold on a second. So, you know, Facebook's right there. The only other thing I'd say is just be fairly close, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so when it starts, we'll start the radio, start the recording in a moment. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Is that a little tilted, man? Are we good?
That's a little bit.
But it is a little tilted.
Not
it's not terrible.
You want to
fix
right
it?
Here.
Yeah, you want to fix it? I'll tell you when. Just fix it a little bit.
Let's see. There. That should be
that's good. It. We're good. Yeah, we got it.
All right.
So, one time you're ready, man.
I'm ready.
Okay. Well, welcome to the Rescue and Revive Gospel Show. I'm Pastor Dominic DeNisi. I'm here with a very, very good friend of mine that I have not seen in quite some time, Kevin Stevens. Kev, I was reflecting back today. I was trying to think of how long we've known each other. We talked last night.
Yeah.
It's been many, many years. I reminded you of that outreach we did together.
Yeah,
back in 2008, and we knew each other before then. So I want to start off this way. First of all, man, great to see you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
You and I go back so many years in ministry. We've done outreach together. We've been in Salem, Massachusetts together.
Yes,
remember
sir.
That? That was several years ago. You've been part of a band. You've been a worship leader, a pastor, evangelist. There's so many different aspects of ministry. And today we're going to talk about some of those things. The Rescue and Revive Gospel Show is called that because it's always gospel-centered.
Yes.
But I'm excited to just to talk to you man-to-man, friend-to-friend about things that have went on in your life. I mean, we didn't see each other for several years.
Yeah.
And now we get the joy of doing that.
Yeah.
So let's just start off this way because you've been through so much. And we had kind of a little space of time where we didn't, like I said, get to physically see each other, maybe in a phone call here or there. So just a little bit of your testimony. I know that that's something you wanted to share a little bit, but talk a little bit about that if you would.
Just
your testimony, man, how you came to know the Lord to begin.
Sure. Yeah, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ back in 2003. And pretty much, if I'm just going to be really raw and transparent.
Be raw as you want, man.
22 years old and actually a little bit suicidal and mm-hmm. And I was living in a house down in the city of Rochester, and mm-hmm. I was there with a family member and a friend. They moved out of the house, and one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and all he said was, "Jesus is your friend." And so
I remember that.
And
I always remember that.
During that time, I didn't realize it, but the Spirit of God was drawing me, you know, mm-hmm. showing me Jesus, you know, tried to give me revelation of Jesus, and in that moment, my life has never been the same. So
I remember. Do you know I've shared your testimony with a few people?
Have you?
Okay. Yeah, because it's, because it's so unique.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell people is like, I just talked about this Sunday, man. I talked about how God came to Zacchaeus, how he came to Nicodemus, how he came to Lydia. It's so different in each person. It's so uniquely intimate. And so that's what's powerful. Hey, what happened to your diet? Pepsi sponsorship, bro.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
My wife's going to be upset. Babe, I'm sorry if you see this. I really don't drink that much diet soda. But anyways, building on what you just said, Kev.
Yes.
Let's go back to the band days, because that was a great band you were in. And for me, I don't remember the
Praise
name of the band. What was the name of the band that you were in that was actually really starting to take off? Talk a little bit about that briefly.
Oh, sure. The band was called Mercy Falling.
Yes.
And at the time, most of us were serving out of, we all came from Calvary Chapel. We all had a Calvary Chapel
roots
background.
Are in Calvary Chapel, right.
And at the time, I was at a church called New Beginnings Christian Fellowship when we were all together. And the Lord did, you know, we did a lot of outreach, a lot of, you know, preaching the gospel. That was really our drive that, you know, for the preeminence of Jesus and, mm-hmm. you know, to get the gospel out there. Mm-hmm. That was really the driving factor behind the band. And so, you know, it was a season. It was a seasonal thing where, you know, we got together and the Lord used us and we did a lot of all original, you know, writing songs and going to different places, different outreaches. Even the Lord had us travel up into Canada and some different places. So it was a great opportunity to get the gospel out there.
It's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I just want to plug this in. I'm technical difficulties, but it's okay. We'll work through. So now let's get back to, I remember the band because it was the band that that performed with us, that ministered with us at that outreach in Holland back in 2008.
Yeah.
You and I both, around that time in ministry, were feeling called to ministry and serving in a fuller capacity, and it was such a different season of life.
Yeah.
Talk about your experience when you, I remember you being the youth leader or the youth pastor at a local fellowship, and then to kind of pick it up from there, and then maybe you could take us through what we talked about in advance. You know, you hit some valleys, some dark valleys, so go ahead and just take it from there.
It's kind of a broad range of time, right? But I, you know, after serving the Lord for some time and, you know, being a worship leader as well, as long along with Mercy Falling, you know, the Lord had called me, had given me a strong desire into pastoral ministry, which really kicked off with youth ministry and just, you know, teaching 2-3 times a week, organizing youth outreaches, doing events with the youth and that kind of thing, which eventually kind of revolved into, I love teaching the word, preaching the word, teaching the word, and studying the word, love the word of God. And so from there, the Lord had moved me from the church that I was in to another local church in Brockport, New York, actually.
Yes.
And I began to step into more assistant pastor kinds of roles and that kind of thing, and doing international missions and doing pastors and leaders conferences and that kind of thing. You know, from that point in particular, you know, ministry and life is a hard balance, right? And I was a husband, a father, that kind of thing. I have three beautiful children. Over time, if I'm really honest, that's why the Word of God warns us, you know, especially to young men, that we can be lifted up with pride. And it's not something that we did, we always do intentionally. But, you know, there's with that great responsibility, it's very easy, even subtly, to become heady or high-minded, or, you know, when in all reality, we're just a novice. And so there were some things I didn't handle right there. Meanwhile, in the background of things, my marriage was decaying. You know, some of it was my fault. You know, it takes two people, obviously, to have a healthy, godly-centered, Christ-centered marriage. Long story short, to bring some testimony to it, ended up going through a divorce. Left the church I was an assistant pastor at, went through a divorce with my wife at the time years ago, and really started to crumble from that point. I really took a very deep and dark tailspin. Tried to find everything to fill that, fell into some very serious sinful cycles, to the point where I had been through a lot of valleys, a lot of dry places with the Lord. But this was like a deep, dark valley that I thought I would never get out of, that I thought I was completely reprobated and gone from the Lord, if I'm honest. And it, which led me into some very serious, sinful things like I had shared.
Yeah.
And there came a point where, if I'm honest, it was about a 3.5-year period. I didn't hear from the Lord. I didn't even sense the presence of God or the Spirit of God. Reading the Bible, it just seemed like I was just gone, you know. Yeah. And after about 3.5 years, the Lord, it was like a light switch went off. I thought I literally was just kind of planning, if I'm honest, just to spend eternity separated from Him. And the Spirit of God began to come after 3.5 years. And I came out, and the best way I can describe it in totality, and to keep it a little bit shorter, Song of Solomon 8:5, I came out of a wilderness leaning upon my beloved. And Jesus began to wake me up. He began to speak, and I began to look back over this time frame of all the chiseling and all the things that God was doing in me, and the Spirit of God was doing, that I didn't even realize was going on. And so I recommitted my life fully to the Lord. He began to just clean some things up and bring restoration, and began to really I began to walk in a season that I never thought I would see. And I wrote a worship song, and the Lord wants me to say this, but I wrote a worship song when I came out of that, called All to You, because I got a revelation of Jesus in that valley, that He really will never leave you or forsake you, that He really will pull you through those places, and He'll begin to restore the dead things to life. So,
yeah, you know, I commend you, because I remember the separation we had because of the sin.
Yeah.
I remember that. And then I remember you contacting me and being completely broken and repentant. And the reason that impacted me so much is because that's what a true man of God will do. you acknowledged your sin, you confessed your sin, you repented. And I was so encouraged by that, because that's exactly what King David did.
Yeah.
It's exactly what others have done. And people think, as a Christian, there's this goody-two-shoes mentality that people may have. That is so radically wrong. We're called to be holy because he is holy. But there's a sanctification process that goes on. And like you said, yeah, there's many pitfalls in Christendom, especially in the ministry. And you just confessed one. You said, hey, if a man's put up too early, it says in 1 Timothy 3, don't lift up a novice, which means a beginner, a new believer, because what can happen? You fall into the same judgment Lucifer did, Satan did in pride. And the reality is you just kind of acknowledged that, which again is very humble of you. And God took you to a very deep, dark place, or you went to a very deep, dark place. But in the valley of the shadow of death, God came to you.
That's right.
To show you, Kevin, you are my beloved. I love you. You're still my child. You're still my son.
That's right.
And I love that word. You're going to restore me. So talk a little bit about that. Now you've been restored. You're still being restored. Yes. But talk a little bit about that process.
Let's build off the valley of the shadow of death. I have Psalm 23 hanging in my bedroom. It's like one of those Psalms you read all the time, but it becomes something like somewhat of an anchor, something that, you know, because the psalmist also said, David also said, the Lord restoreth my soul.
Powerful.
Yeah. And so coming through that, you know, what I really felt today from my testimony, watching, I like what you said, because it is a process and God is still restoring things in my life. And that's everything from my emotions. That's everything, you know, from the broken pieces and the wounded places. It's relationships, even like our relationship and, you know, and that kind of thing. And so, but I really felt impressed by the Lord, as me and Dom had been talking, that, you know, it's kind of like the withered man in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12, you know, and there myself, I use myself as an example. I felt like everything was withered up, dried up, you know, and there could be nothing done with these broken pieces of my life. And yet Jesus comes and he says, hey, give me that withered hand, you know, and he restores it to be whole as the other, what the word of God says. So I really just felt from the Lord today, Dom, to really encourage those that will listen, those that will listen later, whoever can hear this, that is as withered as the areas of your life may seem, primarily in your relationship with him, and then in all those areas, that Jesus not only is able, but desires to restore.
And he is a restorer, he is a rescuer, he is a deliverer. It's an awesome testimony. I mean, I know it. I know what you went through. Not many people do. But I know the depths of the sin, the brokenness, but also the awesome peace and power and grace that he restores you with, man.
Yeah.
It's available to everybody out there who's truly seeking. I think of where it says in the Word, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart.
That's right.
You know, I won't turn any away. Any that come to me, Jesus said, I won't turn away. So let's get up to present day speed.
Yeah.
Now, restoration in process.
Yes.
You've been a pastor. You've been overseas. You've been a worship leader. You've been a youth leader. You've done all that. All of that was washed away, broken. Everything falls apart. Now the master potter is putting the beautiful piece of pottery back together.
Yeah.
Where are you now, and where would you like to be going with the Lord and in the work of the ministry, gospel-centered ministry?
Yeah. Well, I want to start with the main thing is the main thing. The first thing is the first thing. And one of the things that the Lord really impressed on me, you know, I've loved the Lord many years, but the whole idea, which is not just an idea, but really a lifestyle, that he is to be our first love.
Amen.
And the thing that I value the most, more than I ever did before being in the ministry ever, is sitting at the feet of Jesus.
Powerful.
Because I have found in this restorative season, it's John 15, you know, that you would bear fruit and bear fruit that remains. Yeah. And that only comes from intimacy and oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. And so the Lord really showed me that, you know, like, you know, it's like the song of Solomon, it's an awakening to first love. It's being so enthralled with him, so in love with him. And, you know, it's like Revelation says, his eyes have eyes like with blazing fire, and looking into those eyes, you know, and spiritually speaking, where you're just, you're, I just love him so much and I want to be with him so much. And everything that I do, I want to come from that place.
So. This is, and I'll tell you this, Kevin, and this is a compliment. This is to God's glory. But I told you this many times, seeing you through conversations, video call, seeing you now in person, talking to you, you are not the same guy. You were saved. You were born again.
Oh, yeah,
but you are not the same guy. And you talking right now just leads me to understand what the difference is. You now, I don't think before, if I could say this, and feel free to correct me.
Yeah.
I don't think years ago you were as in love with the Lord as you are now. I think now what I see the difference is that for you,
yeah,
it's about your love relationship,
yeah,
with Jesus, yeah, and then everything just flows or follows after that. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, there's truth to that, because yeah, I was just, we were, yeah, talking yesterday, yeah, you know, and I said to Dominic yesterday, mm-hmm, I feel, in the sense of spiritually speaking, in relationship to Christ, mm-hmm, better than I ever have.
Yeah.
And I loved the Lord deeply before. Yeah, absolutely. But this is, there's a depth. There's a,
you it's know, deeper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love what Paul says in Colossians, that we are complete in him. And that's where my focus has been. Now you asked me, where do I want to go with ministry? This, yeah, is where my heart is at. I'm yielded.
Yes. That's a big word.
Yielded.
It's a key word.
I'm yielded. I'm submitted. Mm-hmm. I'm committed. Lord, where you say do, I'll do. Where you want me to go, I'll go.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, you know, govern, you know, and lead me where you want me to be. And really, I have to add to this, and I'll pass, yeah, it back to you.
Please.
My heart's desire from that place of intimacy with him. You know, when you get into ministry and you know, it's a wonderful place to be. But I never forget what the Lord said and what's been really impressed on me. Be the servant of all.
That's what
my heart is at.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's an, yeah, awesome heart. That's where God wants you to be.
Yeah.
It's like, I hear people say things, and we know this,
yeah,
right? We could probably start laughing over this, but
I'm sure we could.
we hear phrases like, God's going to take you to the next level. No, really, yeah, we hear things like that, which I call theater. It's all theater. It's all.
You know what the next level is? Lower.
That's it. Well, you just, yeah, finished it for me. if you really want to go to the quote-unquote next level, then the next level is as low as you can go. At seven,
that's right.
And that's where people who don't maybe have the pure heart or didn't get broken and then filled with the love of God, they miss that. And the reality is, if you really want to serve all, it's what John the Baptist said. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. And the reality is our pursuit can only be Jesus Christ, serving him, serving his people, out of love for his glory, honor, praise, because he's the only one worthy of it.
That's,
you know,
right.
And I sense that's exactly where you are right now. I pray I'm headed in that direction or I'm there. But you know, Kev, we're older men now, right? We talked about it. You're 43, I'm 48. Let's turn back the clock to when we were 30 years old. And I just think of young men who are called, by the way. I started reading that book you gave me last night.
Did you? Okay.
Oswald,
okay,
Chambers. Something stuck out to me. He talked about good ambition, bad ambition, right?
Yes.
1 Timothy 3 talks about if a man desires the office of a bishop or an overseer, desires a good work. That's a good work.
Yeah.
But see, that can get intersect or sometimes cross lines with vain ambition.
Yeah.
And conceit that brings, yeah, no glory to God. And I think, yeah, young men, and perhaps you and I can relate to this, you feel the call, you know the call, but you're almost like this, you're a zeal without knowledge. You're like a bucking bronco. You have all this fire and passion in you, but you haven't lived enough.
Yeah.
You haven't been through any valleys. You haven't been refined. You don't have enough wisdom. And the only thing that can really take you to that place to where you are now is time, patience, brokenness,
yeah,
all the things that Christ, to some extent, went through. And that's why it says, the Word of God says, don't lay hands on any man suddenly.
That's right.
It takes time. A good friend of mine said this, Luis Diaz. He said, sometimes the chicken, you can see it's cooked on the outside, but it's still pink on the inside. And only God knows the heart. And it takes time as you abide in that vine.
Yes.
For you to bear good fruit with patience.
That's right.
You know?
And enduring the purging and the pruning. And one of the things the Lord ministered to me, and I felt led by the, yeah, Lord to share, was it, like the woman that touched the hem of his garment.
Yeah.
And the Lord ministered to me so strongly one day. He's like, that's the low place. You know, she was desperate.
Yeah.
She was broken. She had really desperate needs.
Last straw. I mean, she had nothing.
But it was a beautiful place too, because she was at the low place of his garment, you know.
That's beautiful.
And that really is the next level. It really is.
We're going to hit you. You're absolutely right. You're right. You know, Jeff, here's the thing. But we say that, right? Because we laugh because we've been in the midst of that.
Yeah.
And in a way, I could just cry, man, over the guys that preach that stuff. Because they're like, dude, you're speaking in the flesh. You're telling people that God is going to be like Santa Christ. He's going to be like a genie. That's what you're telling them when you say get to the next level. And that's not anything what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you want to be great, be the lowest.
And you know what happens when we go to that low place? The thing that's, we are, the Word of God says, partakers of the divine nature.
Yes.
And we know Galatians 5 gives us a description of the fruit of the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's what the aim should be. That's what my aim is. And I know that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to be that reflection of Him. And I know we hear that a lot. We know 2 Corinthians 3:18 about from glory to glory.
Mm-hmm.
But more impressive than anything, any kind of ministry we could steward, any, you know, whatever position we could hold, when the Lord looks at us and when other people see us, are we radiating the divine nature of Jesus?
Amen. With that being said, to me, that divine nature exudes all the fruits of the Spirit.
That's right.
Beginning with love.
That's right.
I was talking to you about this last night. I proposed this to the people at Spencerport last couple weeks ago. Would you rather have every single gift that's listed in the Bible, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, or would you rather be absolutely immersed, baptized in the love of God? And it was a rhetorical question. I know we're on the same page with that.
Yeah.
There's nothing, in my opinion, that's going to bring more honor and glory and praise to God than having the love of God, being filled with the love of God, because with the love of God becomes that divine nature. He says,
that's right,
God is love.
Yeah.
God demonstrated His love toward us while we're yet sinners Christ died for. So it's a beautiful fellowship and communion, man, that we can have with the Lord and that we're having with one another. I told you, and you know this from experience, we only got like 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
It flies by.
Absolutely. I had one more thought.
Yeah, we're going to tell you. We got 5 minutes. We'll fill it.
So my last thought, you know, it's one thing. It's amazing, right, to be able to steward something God gives us well, you know, but the things that men or people in general are impressed with, you know, what impresses the heart of the Father is that when He looks at His sons and daughters and He sees His Son Jesus.
Yes.
More than anything we could do, more than any gift, spiritual gift we could operate in into any dimension.
Yes.
But when He sees, when we're yielded to Him, when we're walking and abiding, we're abiding in Him.
It's a good word.
And we become those beautiful branches that are bearing good fruit that remains.
With the last few minutes, let me ask this. Let's rewind. Let's go back. God doesn't do this, but let's go back, right? Let's go back to our early 30s.
Yeah.
We were those younger ministers. We were those younger men.
Yeah.
Now we're a little bit more aged men, have been through some life experiences, you know?
Yeah.
Some broken places, some valleys, etc. Let's talk to the man who was in our shoes. Let's talk to the young minister out there that feels a call to ministry. It's real.
Yeah.
But they're burning. There haven't been through enough yet. I think about David, who was anointed king. It didn't happen for many years later. What would you say to the young man who is called, but is being impatient?
I would say you need to submit to the process of God. I would say make sure you're accountable, not just in a shallow sense.
Right.
Make sure you're deeply accountable to seasoned men of God that can speak into your life, that can bring correction. And be clothed with humility. You know, the best
just read that, bro.
Just clothed with humility. Because I remember when I was a younger minister, there was a church that wanted to pretty much hand me the pulpit to that ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not handle that with humility. And there were some things going on.
I can imagine you saying that again.
You know, but I, even to this day at 42 going on 43, once in a while.
Say, I aged you. I said you were 40. I'm sorry, man.
I wasn't going to say nothing, but I still, once in a while, even though I know the Lord's forgiven me, Lord, I'm sorry about that. Because
and He's forgiven you.
Because your giftedness, if it's not matched with character, the foundation is going to crumble.
That's it. You hit it, man. You hit it out of the park. Well said. I pray that any young man or young woman who's looking to go into ministry in any capacity hears that.
Submission is not just when I'm talking submission, like, you know, submission to the church leaders that God has placed in your life. Submission is not just when you agree. It's learning to submit
It is.
Even when you don't necessarily agree, not talking sinful things, but, you know, things that
well said.
You may think you
submission
know better.
Submission is vertical and horizontal.
Yeah.
It's both.
Yep.
And like you, God forgive me at times where I've shot myself in the foot. You know, we're our own worst enemy sometimes, and it's pride, man. You know, it's pride or it's things of the flesh, which, you know, man desires and not God. You know, like Jesus said to Peter, said, you desire the things of man and not God, you know, and sometimes the Holy Spirit shows us that, man, that our motives are wrong or our direction is wrong. So praise God for forgiveness. And that key word you said, restoration. We only got 2 minutes, but I want to end this way. First of all, Facebook Live, those of you, I see a bunch of names on there. Thanks for watching. Josh, I saw Alba was on earlier, a bunch of people, Kristen. This is going to play on WYSL 92.1 FM, 95.5 FM, and 1040 AM on Sunday evenings, 11:30 PM. That'll start this upcoming Sunday. If you're driving around late at night, it's 11:30, it'll be on WYSL, The Voice of Liberty. And also, its podcast form will be on WYSL, as well as we'll have the Rescue and Revive Ministries website. It'll be up after it's edited by our webmaster there as well. So, Kev, we got, listen, 60 seconds, bro, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Share the gospel with the people that are watching and will be listening later on.
Yeah. You know, kind of going back to what I was sharing earlier. Christ is the mighty deliverer, you know, and I'm reminded every day, you know, of him and him crucified and, you know, Christ paying the fullness of our debt, the fullness of our sin on that cross, when he hung on that tree for us, and not only crucified, but risen again on the third day. And, one of the things about the cross I think I love the most and I want to share with everyone today is that it is the moment that we come to faith in Christ. We come to that revelation and the knowledge of him and commit our lives to him. But he's promised to be with us always, all the way through our lives. And if there's anyone that has listening to this today that has never given their life to Christ, the word of God says that today is the day of salvation. And if the Spirit of God is just prompting your heart, just, you know, when I got saved, all I said was, yes, Jesus.
You got 30 seconds.
Yes, Jesus.
Amen. So, amen. It's a beautiful, beautiful explanation of the gospel. I want to thank you for tuning in today. We're on a time crunch because of the radio ministry. But I want to say thank you to everybody watching on Facebook Live, been praying for us, given to us in whatever capacity. Thank you for helping us rescue the lost and revive the saved with the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you.
All right,
man. Yeah, sorry. We had the 27-minute crunch. Yeah,
that was beautiful.
Awesome. Do me a favor. If you want to hit finish on that, we'll get off the Facebook Live.